यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोद यमुनातीरावनचारी यमुनातीरावन यमुनातीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी 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 जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी मती वनच जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधे जय राधा मदन मोहन राधा मदन मोहन राधे जय गौरनिताय 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 जय गौरनिताय जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद त साई गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल निताय गौर हरि बोल जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद्वैंग्रेसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 15 वी विल रीड Text 14, 15 and 16. So this is text 14 and 15 is prose and text 16 is a poetry form. So I'll just read. Gayat gayantyam chittarata sugatir avarodhana इति त्रयपुत्रा बभूवुश्चित्ररथात् ऊर्णायां सम्राट् अजनिष्ठ तत उत्कालयां मारीचेर्बिन्दुमत्यां बिन्दुम् आनुदपद्यत तस्मात् सरग्घायां मधुर्नामाभवन् मदो सुमनसि वीरव्रतस्ततो भोजयां मन्तु प्रमन्तु जज्ञाते मन्तो सत्ययायं भौवनस्ततो दूषणायां त्वष्टा जनिष्ठ त्वष्टु विरोचनायां विरजो विरजस्य शतजित् प्रवरं पुत्रशतां कन्या च विशूच्यां किल जातम् सो आई विल रीड द ट्रांसलेशन फॉर दिस एंड देन विल रीड द श्लोका 16 ट्रांसलेशन By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the womb of Gayanti, Maharaj Gaya begot three sons named Chitrata, Sugati, Avarodhana. In the womb of his wife Urna, Chitrata begot a son named Samrat. The wife of Samrat was Utkala, and in her womb Samrat begot a son named Marichi. In the womb of his wife Bindumati, Marichi begot a son named Bindu. In the womb of his wife Saragha, Bindu begot a son named Madhu. In the womb of his wife named Sumana, Madhu begot a son named Veeravrata. In the womb of his wife Bhoja, Veeravrata begot two sons named Mantu and Pramantu. In the womb of his wife Satya, Mantu begot a son named Bhuvana. And in the womb of his wife Dushana, Bhuvana begot a son named Twashta. In the womb of his wife Virochana, Twashta begot a son named Viraja. The wife of Viraja was Vishuchi, and in her womb Viraja begot 100 sons and one daughter. Of all these sons, the son named Shatajit was predominant. So we'll read text 16. You can chant along with me. तत्रायं श्लोकः प्रय्यव्रतं वंशं इमं विरजस् चरमोद्भवः अकरोत् अति अलम कीर्त्या विष्णु सुरगणम यथा तत्रायाम श्लोकः प्रय्यव्रतं वंशम इमं विरजश्चरमोद्भवः अकरोद् अति अलम कीर्त्या विष्णु सुरगणम यथा तत्रायम श्लोकः प्रय्यव्रतं वंशम इमं विरजश्चरमोद्भवः अकरोद् अत्यलं कीर्त्या विष्णु सुरगणं यथा तत्रायं श्लोकः प्रय्यव्रतं वंशम इमं विरजश्चरमोद्भवः अकरोद् अत्यलं कीर्त्या विष्णु सुरगणं यथा तत्रायां श्लोकः प्रयव्रतं वंशमिमं विरजश्चरमोद्भवः अकरोद्यत्यलं कीर्त्या विष्णु सुरगणं यथा तत्रायां श्लोकः प्रियव्रतं वंशम इमं विरजश्चरमोद्भवः अकरोत् अत्यलं कीर्त्या विष्णु सुरगणं यथा श्रीराधा वृंदावन बिहारी श्री मंगौर महाप्रभु की जय। तत्रायां श्लोकः प्रय्यव्रतं वंशम इमं विरजश्चरमोद्भवः अकरोद् अत्यलं कीर्त्या विष्णु सुरगणं यथा माताजी। तत्रायां श्लोकः प्रय्यव्रतं वंशमिमं विरजश्चरमोद्भवः अकरोद् अत्यलं कीर्त्या विष्णु सुरगणं यथा। सो वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग तत्र इन दैट कनेक्शन अयम श्लोकः दैट इज दिस फेमस वर्स प्रय्यव्रतम कमिंग फ्रॉम किंग प्रियव्रत वंशम द डायनेस्टी इमम दिस विरज किंग विरज चरम उद्भव द सोर्स ऑफ 100 सन्स हेडेड बाय शतजीत शतजीत अकरोत् डेकोरेटेड अति अलम वेरी ग्रेटली कीर्त्या बाय हिज रेप्युटेशन विष्णु लॉर्ड विष्णु द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड सुरगणम द डेमी गॉड्स यथा जस्ट एस ट्रांसलेशन देर इज अ फेमस वर्स यू कैन रिपीट अबाउट किंग विरज बिकॉज ऑफ हिज हाई क्वालिटीज एंड वाइड फेम किंग विरज बिकेम द ज्वेल ऑफ द डायनेस्टी ऑफ किंग प्रियव्रत जस्ट एस Lord Vishnu, by his transcendental potency, decorates and blesses the demigods. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Within a garden, a flowering tree attains a good reputation because of its fragrant flowers. Similarly, if there is a famous man in a family, he is compared to a fragrant flower in a forest. Because of him, an entire family can become famous in history. Because Lord Krishna took birth in Yadu dynasty, the Yadu dynasty and the Yadavas have remained famous for all time. Because of King Viraja's appearance, the family of Maharaj Priyavrat has remained famous for all time. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of 5th canto, 15th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of the descendants of King Priyavrata. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So welcome all to this morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. So we are in the last section of this 15th chapter of 5th canto. So basically this is a sloka where it is mentioned that because of King Viraja, who was one of the descendants of Priyavrat Maharaj, the entire dynasty of Priyavrat Maharaj have become famous. First of all, we have to understand that Priyavrat Maharaj was never going to enter the Grihastha Ashram. He was forced by Narada Muni. He was forced by Swayambhu Manu, his father, and his grandfather Brahma. That's why he entered the Grihastha Ashram. And then the lot of great exotic personalities appeared in his dynasty. At the end, it is mentioned that this King Viraja, he was a jewel of a dynasty of King Priyavrata. Why is that? Because he was a great Vaishnava. He was a pure devotee of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. That's why his dynasty is famous. Otherwise, it's not that somebody is famous because of his material opulences or because of some strength or because of knowledge. The dynasty is not famous because of that. Because he is a devotee of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, that's why he is famous. That's why it's mentioned that just as Lord Vishnu by transcendental potency decorates and blesses the demigods. So, demigods have their opulences and fame, name. It's because Lord Vishnu is actually their shelter, their protector. So similarly, here the analogy is given that just as there is a fragrant tree in a forest, then the entire forest becomes fragrant. So Prabhupada gives this analogy that we have a sandalwood tree in a forest. If there is even one single sandalwood tree in the forest, the entire forest becomes fragrant. And Prabhupada gives another analogy that if you want to see the rice is cooked or not, then what the person does, he picks up one grain and tests that grain. If that one grain is cooked, that means the entire lot of that rice is cooked actually. So similarly, he says that if one devotee is pure devotee is born in a family, then that dynasty becomes famous. And not just that, that entire dynasty is delivered. The generations of that dynasty is delivered. So we can see that in the case of Prahlad Maharaj, when Prahlad Maharaj was he was a pure devotee of the Lord, he was born in the family of demon. Even though he was born in the family of demon, what happened? When Narasingadev appeared, he killed Hiranyakashipu and he asked Prahlad Maharaj, okay, ask for any benediction. So initially he said, I don't want any benediction. I'm happy to remain in the association of devotees. I don't want any benediction. But Lord said, you ask for some benediction. Then he said that because of material desires, we are actually entangled in this material world. So please bless me that I don't have any material desires. So that's the benediction he asked. So, and then Lord Narasimhadev said that you will rule this entire earth, you will have a lot of opulences, but you will never forget me, you will always remember me. So you will not be distracted by material desires. Lord Narasimhadev benedicted. And then Prahlad Maharaj, being a compassionate devotee, because a devotee means his heart is soft, he is always compassionate for all the living entities, he worries about all the living entities. So he asked for another benediction. He said that my father was a demon. He always envied you. He always hated you. He always wanted to kill you. But since you have appeared to kill this personality, so my only desire is that you please forgive him. And excuse him. At that time, Narasimhadev says this sloka. He says that, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Tri Saptabhi Pita Putaha Pitrabhi Sahate Nagha Yat Sadosya Kulo Jato Bhavan Vai Kula Pavanaha. He said, O Prahlad Maharaj, it is not just your father, 21 generations of your dynasty has been delivered. Tri Saptabhi Pita Putaha. Three Saptabhi, 21 generations of your forefathers have been purified, putaha, purified, pitrvi sataya nagaha. Oh, non-envious personality, have delivered all your forefathers, 21 generations. Because such a sadhu has been born in this dynasty. Bhavan ve kula pavana, you purify the entire dynasty. That's why, you know, so Prabhupada says that in that purport, 21 generation indicates that the benediction expands to other family. He says that we may remember our father, our grandfather, our great-grandfather, and beyond that we may not remember. So beyond that, Prabhupada says it's other family. It's not our family. Beyond like 2-3 generations beyond that, it's a different family altogether. So Prabhupada says that, so that means when a devotee is born, pure devotee is born, he is not just delivering his family, he is also delivering other families also. So that's why this 21 generation, that's what this 21 generation means. He delivers other families also, not just his own family. So, yeah. So, and then next Narasimhadev says that, Yatra yatra cha mad bhakta prashanta samadarshinah sadavo samudacharas te puyanta kikataha. So he says that whenever and wherever my pure devotees are born who are peaceful and well behaved, because of their good qualities, even a kikata, one who is born in a kikata family is delivered. That means a degraded family. One who is born in a degraded family is also delivered. So what does this mean, that when someone is being delivered or liberated, does that mean that they are actually delivered or liberated? The 21 generations of a family is delivered? So in this context, there are different references. So Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in his Srila Prabhupada Upadeshamrita, he says that when a pure devotee is born, that is a topmost devotee, Uttama Adhikari is born in a family, that means 100 generations are delivered. 100 generations, not just 21, 100 generations are delivered. When a Madhyama Adhikari is born in a family, then 14 generations are delivered. And when a Kanishta Adhikari is born in a family, then 3 generations are delivered. So what does this mean? 100, 14, 3, and somewhere 21. So what does this mean? Delivered, liberated means they will be delivered, they will go back home, back to Godhead. So it does not mean that they will go back home, back to Godhead. It means that they will get an opportunity. Krishna will give them an opportunity to deliver themselves. Krishna will purify them, will give them special mercy to get purified. So once Pushta Krishna Swami, he asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what kind of liberation does family members get when a pure devotee is born in that family? So Prabhupada said that liberation means, that is explained by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to become a devotee. That is liberation. To become a devotee is itself a liberation. So liberation doesn't mean that one gets the five type of liberation. Any one of five type of liberation doesn't mean that. If one becomes a devotee, that itself is a liberation. So Prabhupada said very clearly. So that's the same thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur also is saying that. So it doesn't mean that one becomes liberated means they will be delivered from this material world. Because if Krishna says that, okay, I'll deliver this 21 generations, 14 generations, 3 generations, and Krishna will deliver them or liberate them, that means Krishna is removing their free will. Krishna is superimposing his power on those generations of family members. But Krishna doesn't do that. If Krishna superimposes, then where is the free will? So Krishna doesn't superimpose. So what does this mean is that Krishna gives the opportunity. Okay, you are born in a family. Now you get a wonderful opportunity to purify yourself and to get yourself liberated from this material world. So that is what is actually liberation means. So if a person doesn't desire to get liberated, if he says that, no, I want to enjoy here, even if he is born in a family of Prahlad Maharaj or he is born in a family of Parikshit Maharaj, if he doesn't want to get liberated, Krishna will not liberate him. Krishna will not even... But he will give a special opportunity, special mercy will be definitely provided to him. So, the special mercy in the sense, Krishna will personally interfere in their life and, you know, make them realize that how the material world is a place of suffering and they have to get liberated. So that's how Krishna. So for example, in the case of Prahlad Maharaj himself, we see Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is actually descendant of Prahlad Maharaj. So 21 generations before and after, and actually 21 generations not before and after, it is mentioned in one of the purport that 13 generations before and 13 generations after are actually delivered. So that means, Bali Maharaj comes within that 13 generation. That means he also should be liberated. But that's not the case. So if we see that Bali Maharaj was actually powerful, and what he was doing? He was actually creating difficulties for disturbances to the demigods, who are actually representatives of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was not actually in the right path. But what happened? What happened was, actually Vaman Dev appeared to deliver Bali Maharaj. So that was the special mercy of Lord, to purify Bali Maharaj and to give him liberation. So this is what that liberation of entire family dynasty means. Krishna actually gives a special opportunity. When he came, because he had, Prahlad Maharaj was benedicted that 21 generations will be delivered. So when Lord Vishnu appeared in the form of Vamandev in front of Bali Maharaj, he even had that guts daring to reject his Guru Maharaj and take shelter of and give everything to Lord Vishnu. He said, I'll give everything to Lord Vishnu. It doesn't matter if he takes away everything from me, it doesn't matter. I'll give whatever he asks. So that conviction, where does he get that conviction that I'll submit to Lord Vishnu? I'll not listen to my guru, who has actually saved. Actually, Shukracharya brought back death Bali Maharaj to life when he was killed in one of the battle with demigods and so many asuras. So that means he has given them the life. And even after giving them the life, Bali Maharaj was ready to abandon Shukracharya. And he was ready to give everything to Vishnu Maharaj. Why? That's the special mercy. That's the benediction that Prahlad Maharaj got and that has come to Bali Maharaj. That's why he was able to submit completely unto lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. So that's the mercy. That is what it means that when 21 generation delivered, that means they get the opportunity to get purified. They get the opportunity to become liberated. They get the opportunity the door of liberation is open for them. And now they have to choose the path, whether they want to walk that path and enter liberation or not. Because Krishna doesn't take away the free will of any living entity. He doesn't want to impose his supreme power on any living entity. That's what it means. So, So that's why if we see in case of Advaita Acharya also. Advaita Acharya is actually incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in his family, who was born? A person who was a Mayavad. His son was a Mayavad. Advaita Acharya rejected him. He said that because Advaita Acharya was born before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is superior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is why Advaita Acharya has to reject him. So it doesn't mean that you are born in an exalted family, you are born in the dynasty of Lord himself, even in the caves of that Bhaumasur. He was a son of Supreme Personality of Godhead, but still he had a choice. He took the association of bad people, because of which he was killed by Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Similarly, Advaita Acharya has rejected his son who had become Mayavad. So, it doesn't mean that if someone, a pure devotee is born, that means everyone will be delivered. Everyone will get a special opportunity, special mercy by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to walk to that path and get themselves liberated, purified and get themselves liberated. So that what it means is. So that's why Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj also says that if someone is born as a devotee and the family is not supporting them and not favorable for the path of bhakti, so that means that devotee has got more responsibility. He has got more responsibility to deliver the family members. Because some purva samskaras that family has given, because of which we have got the opportunity to practice bhakti. So we have to be grateful for that family who has allowed us to, I mean, they may not be favorable, but because of them, because of their purva samskaras or practices, because of which we have got this bhakti, so we have to be grateful. Right now they may not be favorable, they may not be, they may be, you know, criticizing us, or they may be, you know, a stumbling block in our path of practicing bhakti, but still, we should think that it's our responsibility that we become sincere and pure enough so that they also get purified. They also get an opportunity to practice bhakti and get themselves delivered. So, So that's why you see in the case of the case of Maharaj Parikshit also, he was born in a family of pure devotee, and already that family was delivered. Pandavas were already liberated souls. He was also born. Why? He was born in that family because of his previous karma also, and also that he got the opportunity to be born as a devotee and practice bhakti and get delivered. So in the purport, in one of the purport, Prabhupada writes that Maharaj Parikshit took his birth in the family of Yudhishthir Maharaj, and so he was called as a Mahabhagavata or Vishnu Rata. The family in which a Mahabhagavata take birth is a fortunate is fortunate, and because he got the birth of a first grade devotee, members of the family, past, present and future, up to 100 generations become liberated by the grace of the Lord. And the Lord has got respect for his beloved devotee. Lord respects his beloved devotee, that's why he delivers the entire generation of family members. So that's why we see that so many in Bhagavatam, there are so many cases where it is mentioned that when a devotee is born, the entire family is being delivered. So, Maharaj Parikshit, Prithu Maharaj, and in this example also we see that Yadukul is famous why? Because Lord Krishna was born. Raghu dynasty is famous why? Because Lord Ramachandra is born. So like that, dynasty become famous because of a pure devotee is born, or the Supreme Personality Godhead himself is born in that dynasty. So in this case, discussing like this, we see the example of contemporary examples also, like in case of Indradyumna Maharaj, His Holiness Indradyumna Swami Maharaj. Indradhanu Swami Maharaj, he says that he was, when he came to Krishna consciousness, his wife, his mother was not so favorable to Krishna consciousness. So he tried to preach to her many times, "Oh, mother, please take to Krishna consciousness, please read these books." So every year he used to send books to his mother, different books of Srila Prabhupada. And his mother used to keep it in the garage. And the books would cover with lot of dust and grease. So she never took to this reading Srila Prabhupada books. But she used to always tell him, "What are you getting? You come back home," like that she used to tell him. But Maharaj was so determined to practice bhakti. But he was determined to give her also Krishna consciousness, because as Prabhupada said that we should be also compassionate to our family members because of parents also, because of whom we have got this body. So in that sense, he was actually trying to give Krishna consciousness to his mother. But his mother was not favorable. So many years passed like that. He was giving her book, sending her books every year. So one day he was in Vrindavan. Suddenly he got a call from his mother. And his mother calls her in the middle of night. No, it was late night. And she tells him that, "Oh, my dear son, I want to come to Vrindavan. I want to come and spend some time in Vrindavan." So he was really shocked. How come my mother has come to even know about this? There is a place called Vrindavan. Because she has never read any books. She was never favorable to Krishna consciousness. How come she has got to know about there is a place called Vrindavan, and she has got this desire to come and stay in Vrindavan? She was really shocked. But then he said it was middle of the night. So my dear mom, I will call you tomorrow morning, and then I'll make some necessary arrangements to bring you to Vrindavan. Like that, he said, he hung up the phone, he slept. And next day morning, he got a call from his brother. I mean, he gave a call to his mother, and then his brother picked up the phone, and his brother said that his mother has passed away. So he was really shocked. "Oh, yesterday night I spoke to my mother. How come she has passed away now?" So he said that she was suffering from cancer for last 6 months or so. And whenever I used to tell her that, "Okay, let me inform my brother, that Indradhanu Swami, that you are suffering from cancer," he said, "No, don't bother him. Let him do his work. Don't bother him," like that. And once what happened, then he started narrating the story, what happened in those 6 months. So she was suffering from cancer, and then one day they were cleaning the garage, cleaning the house. At that time she saw the books that Maharaj used to send her. It was lying in the garage covered filled with dust and grease. So she cleared the dust and grease and she started reading the books. And she got hooked to the books. She started reading all the books. She read all the books. She got to know about Krishna consciousness. She got to know about Krishna bhakti. She got to know about Vrindavan Dham, special place where Lord Krishna performed all his wonderful leelas. So she then got a desire that, "I want to go and spend some time in Vrindavan." Or she got a desire that she wants to leave her body in Vrindavan. So when he heard, when Indradhanu Swami Maharaj heard this, he was so moved that how Prabhupada and Krishna are taking care of devotees. Even though they are not interested, but somehow Prabhupada or Krishna has brought them to Krishna consciousness, made them understand this path of bhakti at last moment of their life, and she got this desire of coming to Vrindavan and leave her body. Then he went home, did the all final rites, and as she desired, she took her ashes and brought back to Vrindavan and, you know, put it in the Yamuna river. So that's how her final desire of, you know, residing in Vrindavan was also fulfilled by bringing her ashes to Vrindavan. So this is, we see that how if a pure devotee is born in a family, or one practices very sincerely and purely, then Krishna takes care of that family, that generations of family. So there are many such examples like this. So we also see there is it is mentioned that, you know, Prabhupada, he wanted, when he was preaching all over the world, so two difficult places to preach were China and Russia. But somehow they got the opportunity to enter enter Russia along with Shamsundar Prabhu, and they went there to meet Professor Katowski. That's the only agenda. But when they went there, so Shamsundar Prabhu was actually searching for some grains, some fruits, some roots to feed Prabhupada. So he was going out and searching different places. At that time, two young men, one Indian boy and one Russian young boy. This Indian boy was actually son of an ambassador, Indian ambassador. So they were walking through the streets and they saw this Western body. They saw that, oh, this is not a, he is not a Russian. He is definitely from Western country. So he might know the Beatles. So they approached him and they asked him, okay, do you know Beatles? Do you have any album of Beatles? Because at that time, people were crazy about listening to Beatles album. So they asked, do you know Beatles? We want to listen to Beatles album. So Shamsundar Prabhu didn't have any Beatles album because they had hidden and taken Bhagavad Gita only to Russia. But now he was saying, what to say? So he said, I know the guru of Beatles and he is right now in Russia. Do you want to meet him? He said, okay, let's meet him. Then he took both of them to Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada started instructing them on Krishna consciousness. And just by instructing Krishna consciousness to that one boy and this Russian boy, he became so serious that he took up this Krishna consciousness so seriously that he, now we see that hundreds and hundreds of devotees are there in Russia. So many devotees and so many centers, so many places in Russia. So this one person who took the path of bhakti, Krishna consciousness, and practiced so purely, even though he had to go through a lot of sufferings and so lot of problems in his personal life, tortured and so many issues, but still, because of that one person, the entire, so in one place Prabhupada writes that it's not just the particular person, even the place where that devotee is practicing bhakti, that place becomes purified. That place becomes, that the entire population of that place becomes delivered. So see, that's why Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj says that when we are practicing bhakti, we have to always remember that we are not delivering ourselves. We are also taking with us many other souls. We are also helping other souls to get delivered. Huh? So it's a high responsibility for one who is practicing bhakti. So we may think that only pure devotee can deliver the, no. That's why we read in that Prabhupada Upadeshamrita. Even if one is a Kanishta devotee or Madhyama devotee or Uttama devotee, any status, if we are practicing very purely and sincerely our path of bhakti, then we help many other souls to become purified and get delivered from this cycle of birth and death. Similarly, there is one more example where this Radha Damodar party, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Vishnujan Swami, they were trying to, you know, take a lot of devotees from different temples, taking brahmacharis, and other temples were suffering, because in those days, the main income of all the temple was distribution of books. Whatever they used to earn money by distributing books, through that money they used to run their temple. So now Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Vishnujan Swami, they were so active, so powerful kirtans, and people were attracted, and they would just go, and brahmacharis would just go in numbers with Radha Damodar party. So, but there was only one temple, the Chicago temple, which was headed by Uttama Shloka Prabhu. The Uttama Shloka Prabhu, he says that, because I was so strong in my preaching, I was so strong in doing powerful kirtan and feeding wonderful prasadam to the devotees, nobody, you know, went away with Radha Damodar party. They all wanted to stay in Chicago temple. And we know that famous O'Hare Airport, International Airport, O'Hare International Airport, Chicago International Airport, that airport, they used to sell different books and it became famous for book distribution. How they used to catch passengers and distribute books. So he said that such a wonderful preaching and such wonderful kirtan, prasadam was happening, nobody left the temple. But other temples all over US was affected. So they all came together, and Uttama Shloka Prabhu also was leading that temple president group, and they went to Prabhupada and said that Prabhupada, so and so, Tamal Krishna Maharaj is taking away all our people, we are suffering. Then Prabhupada called Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He took him for a walk, morning walk. He started chastising him. He said, you should not do this, you should not do that, you should not do... Like that, he was constantly telling him, don't do this, don't do that. Then Tamal Krishna Maharaj became so frustrated that he said that, if you don't want me to do any of those things, then better let me go to China. Out of frustration, he said that, let me go to China. Prabhupada said, very good, you go to China. So he was thinking, oh, then he realized, what did I say? He said, no, I don't want to go to China, it's so difficult. No, you have to go to China. Go and preach in China. Then Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he made a document actually, how difficult it is to go and preach in China, how it is a strong communist country. So he made a document and he presented to Prabhupada saying that how he cannot preach in China. Prabhupada said, if you don't want to preach in China, if you want to disobey the order of your guru, then it's okay. Then what option is left out for Tamal Krishna Maharaj? Then Tamal Krishna Maharaj went to China. But it was difficult for him. But then later on, others were also assisted to help him in preaching in China. So it is mentioned that Burijan Prabhu also went there along with his... Actually, Burijan Prabhu went to Hong Kong and he started preaching, because what happened at that time, it is mentioned that at that time, people from China used to come to Hong Kong to work there. And during weekends, they would go back to China. Like, in Coimbatore, where I stay, people go to Chennai, Bangalore for work, and weekends they come back to Coimbatore, their hometown. Similarly, people used to go to Hong Kong for their work, and weekends they come back to China, their hometown. So, Burijan Prabhu, he was serving as a brahmachari there, serving, preaching there to Chinese people. And he used to send books through these Chinese devotees to China, because we cannot take book inside China directly. So, the Chinese who were working there, he used to give them book and they used to take books to China. Like that, they were doing the preaching. So, what happened was, so Burijan Prabhu was alone. So, there was one Mataji who was in Los Angeles. Prabhupada said that, you go and marry this devotee in Hong Kong who is serving there and preach along with him. And she didn't know who is this person who I have to go and get married. But Prabhupada said, she went there and got married to Burijan Prabhu and stayed there and started preaching there. So while they were preaching, they met one devotee who was very serious. His name was Yashomati Sutta Prabhu. And this Yashomati Sutta Prabhu took to Krishna consciousness very seriously. And he started preaching in China, underground. And he also started translating Bhagavad Gita in Chinese language. So seeing that, Prabhupada was so happy. Prabhupada said that, you are a credit to all Chinese people, to the whole race of China. Just because he took to Krishna consciousness very seriously and he was preaching very nicely in Chinese countries. So he said that because of you, the entire Chinese people will get delivered. Because of one person. So it's not that Prabhupada said that your family will get delivered. He said the entire race of Chinese people will get delivered. So that means what Prabhupada is saying, that not just family member, wherever a pure devotee, a sincere devotee is practicing Krishna consciousness purely, that the entire place, the population of that entire place will get delivered, and also the family generation will also get delivered. So that's how, the Chinese took to path of Krishna consciousness. And now we see that of course there will be a lot of oppositions. In Russia there was opposition. In China there is still opposition. Different places people have to preach underground. But where there was no opposition in the history? Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time there was opposition. Chankasi broke the mridanga. He said that there shouldn't be no more Harinam Sankirtan. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took out that rally of all the Navadvip Vasis and took to Chankasi. He said that there will be Harinam Sankirtan at every in this place. And then Harinam Sankirtan continued. So there will be opposition, but still the Krishna consciousness, this movement should go on. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Sasari Thakur, when he was preaching in Bengal and Orissa, there were opposition. People were trying to kill him. There was a death threat also to Bhaktisiddhanta Sasari Thakur. But still, Bhaktisiddhanta went he started preaching. He preached very nicely. Prabhupada said, even in my case, there was a lot of opposition. When I am practicing Krishna consciousness, preaching Krishna consciousness, there is opposition. He said, in Vrindavan, the opposition is from pandits. In Mayapur, there is opposition from my godbrothers. And from in Mumbai, there is opposition from BMC. So everywhere there is opposition. So even though there is opposition, Prabhupada said that we have to continue practicing Krishna consciousness purely and sincerely. When we practice Krishna consciousness, Krishna assures that the people in and around us, the family dynasty, everyone will get delivered. Delivered in the sense, they will get purified. Krishna will give them the special mercy to practice, to get purified and get delivered. So that's what the crux of this sloka is. Just by Viraja being born, I mean, the Priyavrat Maharaj himself was a pure devotee. And by Viraja, this entire dynasty of Priyavrat Maharaj became glorious and famous. So similarly, if we are practicing Krishna consciousness, no matter whether we are Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari or Uttama Adhikari, so if we practice bhakti very sincerely and seriously, it is not just that we are delivering ourselves, we are delivering, you know, many other souls along with us. So it's a onus on us, it's a responsibility on us that we practice bhakti very seriously and purely and help in this mission of Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions and comments? You can. Okay, thank you all very much. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai.